Bronwyn Lace's visions often take her on extraordinary journeys, like when she visited a veterinary institute to view horse skeletons. She asked an official if she could buy one.
I really didn't think it was possible, but to my surprise, she said, yes, you can. And so I did, and I brought it home, and I started to work with it. I put the bones in the bath because some of the connecting rib bones needed a bit more cleaning. I then began to...
She carried the bones to the basement of a building in central Johannesburg. A large window allows people to see into the space.
Kids were walking home and I had the skeleton on the floor and I was starting to rearrange it. It was just so wonderful because these kids would knock on the window and they'd look at me all curiously and want to come in, and I'd let them in or they'd shout at me from the door, and I got questions like, ma'am, when did you kill the dragon? How did you find that dinosaur? Did you dig him up?
Inspired by the children's energy and wild imaginings, Lace decided to create something that would amaze people in the same way. She suspended her rearranged horse skeleton in an art gallery.
It took on this sort of either flying or swimming creature. It was imagined to be many things by many people.
Lace hangs her works using monofilament fishing line, a material she describes as her pencil or her paintbrush.
It was a medium that held light, and if you lit in particular ways with different colored light, had many different qualities. It would take on its environment. That was something I found very poetic about it.
Her art involves hard physical labor and danger.
I'm normally moving up and down a 6-meter scaffolding, and in order to create a column, I'm having to do that over 1,000 times at every single major installation or exhibition since I was 18. I've injured myself in one way or another. I've fallen off scaffolding and broken my wrist, and once working with thousands of fishing flies, not once, many times, managed to get a hook through my finger.
And the artist says she's obsessed with using organic materials.
Every time I come across a dead insect, be they floating in a pool, in a light shade or whatever, you know, just on the road or on the ground, I collect it and I archive it according to...
She uses a powerful press to emboss the bodies of the insects into cotton paper.
It's kind of my way of creating small monuments to the forgotten and to those forms of life around us that we very easily throw away, and in fact we want to throw away, we get rid of.
Much of Lace's work revolves around death.
It's the absolutely most normal part of life, and yet we are unable to acknowledge and accept it, and we won't talk about it, and we won't let certain ideas go even though their time has come to an end, and we won't let lot of structures and ways of thinking go because we feel like we're losing control, and so we won't let things die a lot of the time. And
her attraction to the theme of death and use of dead objects in her art isn't surprising when one considers that she grew up surrounded by death. Her mother's a hospice nurse, so as a child Lace witnessed many people in the process of dying.
It's actually an incredibly beautiful journey that could be equated with the birthing process. I think it's a path, I think it's a canal, I think it's something we move through.
And viewers of Lace's work often say it's beautiful.
I'm pleased because I think that beauty is in fact a tool. It's a tool that nature uses, it's a tool that artists have used, that architects and religions and even that science uses to open the doors to more information and knowledge. And I find it very interesting that the more you know about something, the more beautiful it becomes.
She calls her work strange and weird, and therein, in its defiant difference and proud indifference to convention, is its magical beauty. I'm Darren Taylor for VOA News in Johannesburg.